From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And indeed, welcome to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, producer of the show, sitting in once again for Tony Perkins. Show is powered by the Family Research Council. It's good to be with you here today. Well, why are Democrats all of a sudden embracing Obamacare while running from it in the past few years? Today, the exchange is open, opens up that can of worms all over again. Is it going to come up in Congress? And U.S. weekly jobless claims fall, continuing claims at the lowest level since 1973. And a new bill has been introduced for veterans. In just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Dave Brat of Virginia. We'll also probably weigh in just a little bit. President Trump made some further comments addressing the crisis on immigration. And recently released documents find collaboration between the State Department and liberal billionaire George Soros' Open Society Foundation and Romania. Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch, a government watchdog organization, will be here with the details. And CNN host Don Lemon recently made radically on-air comments in which he called white men, are you ready for this, the biggest terror threat facing America. That just lights me up when I hear that kind of rhetoric. Later in the program, we'll talk with Project 21 Black Leadership Network about those comments. And don't forget this. FRC Action Values Bus is headed to Kansas City. The American Conservative Union and FRC Action have co-sponsored a rally at the Hy-Vee Arena, formerly known as Kemper Arena, November 2nd. That's tomorrow. Vice President Pence is going to be there from 1 o'clock to 2:30 p.m. So you can go check out the valuesbustour.com. All this great content can be found on tonyperkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at tperkins, and you can follow me as well at rjonesreports. Well, once a liability in advance of the 2018 midterms, Democrats all of a sudden actually are embracing Obamacare. And titled the Tally Bill, it would bring VA independent contractors under the medical malpractice procedures for other federal employees and increase accountability for both employees and contractors who provide care to our veterans. And, of course, the economy continues to do well. With us now is Congressman Dave Brat. He represents the 7th Congressional District of Virginia. He serves on the Committee on the Budget, the Education and Workforce Committee, and also a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Ross, thanks for having me on.
I know you're busy out there and going just 90 to nothing. And what's the sense on the ground? If you just tune into the media, it may come across pretty rough, but I think in coffee houses across the country, maybe things are a little different. I wish we could see a closer look at that. How are things going as you're out there meeting with your constituents?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. I think we're surging right at the right time, and the Kavanaugh hearing just lit everybody up a month ago. And so people who follow politics, you know, your listeners know what's going on. But the people that don't follow politics saw that, and they saw the Democratic tactics, and they're just, you know, rightly horrified. And so we've had people just coming into our, you know, the district office like crazy. Now, my opponent, Abigail Spanberger, has raised about $10 million. $6 million to her, $1 million from Pelosi, $2.2 from ActBlue, every leftist group you can think of, right? Planned Parenthood, Emily's List, all of it. So we got a tough, tough race. They're hiring, you know, folks from Maryland to come in across the country, knocking doors. They got money for, you know, billboards along highways, calls. I mean, they got everything they need. But they, you know, they don't have a policy message at all. And so she's on healthcare, wants the Bernie, you know, $32 trillion piece. She's for open borders, sanctuary cities, wants to raise the taxes. The Bernie healthcare plan doubles your taxes, by the way, $32 trillion over 10. Doubles the personal income tax and the corporate rate tax. And I taught economics for 20 years, and it seems like anyone running on that, it's disqualifying. But the left is not your old Democrat Party that used to care about, you know, American workers. They're just way off, you know. I mean, they're just into the protest resistance mode right now. And so our message is people are finally digging into the details, and they're coming home. All the Republicans are coming home, and I think we'll win by a few, so that'll be good.
Yeah. And just to remind our listeners, we don't endorse our candidates and our guests here on Washington Watch and the Family Research Council, just to make sure we get that out there to our listeners. Now, Congressman Brandt, let me ask you this. President Trump, he made some remarks just a little while ago on immigration at the White House, and that many are not legitimate asylum seekers. And I want to play a clip here real quick here just to remind folks, the left, the other side, they seem to flip-flop a lot. And if you listen closely, kind of sounds like President Trump. Let's listen.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally. The
president's decision to end DACA was heartless and it was brainless.
When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration.
Hundreds of thousands of families will be ripped apart.
If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong.
I cannot think of one single act which is uglier and more cruel.
We have all been educated that economics is about supply and demand. If you don't get the workers you want, you raise wages and you raise benefits. You don't simply open the door and bring in other workers at low wages.
Congressman Brandt, isn't it remarkable? And now we're hearing the same sort of flip-flop on Obamacare. What's going out there? Trying to come to the center or something? Don't you think folks know better?
Yeah, no, I mean, it is amazing. You go back, you E-verify Obama, Clinton, they were all for it until they're against it a couple of years ago, and now they see it's a huge issue. And so, yeah, my opponent's running for it. She won't say one word on the caravan. And they know the American people are upset on this issue. My opponent made remarks not only on open borders, but for sanctuary cities. She said, the local law enforcement can handle it on its own, right? You don't need ICE officers. You don't need federal law enforcement. She's got a federal law enforcement background and should know better. And so it's pretty shocking to see the gymnastics on the left. And on the policy, we have the Goodlatte bill. The Democrats used to be for most of those components. Barbara Jordan was a great civil rights leader. And she knew. She knew on behalf of American workers, you cannot have a wide open border or wage rates of Americans will go down. And so I've been pushing on that my whole time. 4 years ago, I had a big win in the politics. And the day after we won, the huge amnesty bill went down in flames. And so we got to keep at it and send people up. Everybody out there listening, you know, needs to send up people who are good on policy.
Well, let's talk about policy. By the way, you've introduced some legislation called the Brian Talley, the Talley bill, and would help VAs and the VA and the veterans they work with. Tell us about that bill.
Yeah, well, Brian Talley is a veteran hero, and he, after he served, he went to the VA to get help and health care. And it really wasn't the VA's fault, but, you know, they hired out contractors. And he went to a contractor, gave him some pain pills, developed an infection in the spine that has now, you know, left him crippled in some respects going forward for his whole life. And he had no recourse on that. There was a loophole where the statute of limitations ran out with a contractor. And so you would think common sense-wise, if he's a veteran and went through VA, you'd be covered, period. But he wasn't. And so there's a terrible loophole there that we have to fix. And he came up and was looking for someone to sponsor the bill. And I said, you bet. He's just an incredible person. And he's not going to get anything out of this, by the way, just to let you know what kind of person we're talking about. This is to help future veterans. And so, if there's one federal responsibility above all others, it's defending the nation and then taking care of your veterans. And so that's it in a Cliff's Notes version. But he just deserves tremendous praise for the courage he's shown on behalf of trying to help future benefits for veterans.
In regards to the economy, I think folks are pretty stoked and pumped up about the economy. In August, the number of job openings hit an all-time high at 7.4 $1.14 billion. In fact, there were more job openings than workers even looking for jobs, and we continue to see, you know, good news on that front. What are you seeing? And apparently, folks like this Trump economy.
Yeah, this morning I was out with the high school kids at a career technical event with about 30 local employers, and all the local employers are working like crazy to find, you know, skilled applicants. And so it's like you just said, there's just huge job openings now. And we've done some, non-traditional solutions there too. We've got folks coming out of prison that have turned their life around. We've got churches that have people that need jobs. And so at the local level, we're trying to form connections, you know, between all the folks who are looking for work still. We still have 40 million people out of the workforce in the United States, adult, you know, labor age ready. And so the economy's just firing on all cylinders. I taught economics for 20 years. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's the college kids I taught, we were racking up the debt. They're racking up student loan debt. And they couldn't find jobs coming out of a great college. And so right now it's just everything's hidden. African-American and women unemployment rates are at their all-time historic lows. We put $2,500 back in the pocket of middle-class Virginians through the tax cut, right? A family of four making about $65,000, $2,500 back, right? That's a big deal. That's, you know, a new refrigerator, a vacation, car fix, stuff that everybody needs. And so we're very proud of it. Trump did a great job. Our House and Senate leaders got that one right. And the American people, I think, are going to be voting that way. I it's always the economy. Hopefully after Tuesday, we'll look back and say, of course, it was the economy.
Now, heading back to Congress here shortly, what do you see coming on deck legislatively? Do you see more immigration reform? Do you think Obamacare will eventually come back around?
Yeah, I hope so. We have to fix the health care piece, right? The premiums have gone up 150% under Obamacare, and the worse than that, the people, they get an insurance policy, but they don't have health care because the deductible is $5,000. They can't access health care. And every small business we go to, they want skilled workers, and they say you got to get us affordable health care for our people because we want to provide it for our people. We can't get it done because it's going through the roof. And so hopefully we get at that. Hopefully we make the tax cuts permanent for small business and for individuals. The Democrats said they will want to work on that. And so, I hope they do, because that'll keep the economy pumping along. And then, yeah, there's some, you know, criminal sentencing reform stuff that's we're looking at to try to strike the right balance and make sure that folks can get back in the economy after they serve their time and get them productive lives so they can take care of the family, keep families intact and all that.
Congressman Dave Brandt, we're about out of time. Thank you so much, and we appreciate your hard work. We appreciate your insights here on Washington Watch today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. If anyone wants to look at the policy stuff, just go to DaveBrandt.com.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Well, coming up next, documents show State Department links to liberal billionaire George Soros's Open Society Foundation and Romania. When we return, we'll talk with Tom Fitton of Judiciary Watch there in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Russ Jones, producer of the show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. Check out all the information there. If you're in Kansas City, got lots coming up for you over the next few days. Make sure you go plug in and hear the vice president speak tomorrow afternoon at Kemper Arena. We'll be right back after this.
Are you interested in helping our nation move toward a brighter future? Join the millions who are gathering to pray, vote, and stand for our country, and hear from some of America's most influential Christian political leaders about what we can do to help move our country in the right direction. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. On Sunday, November 4th, tune in at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Kirsten Hawkins, and others who will be broadcasting from Caris Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. To host the event via webcast with your friends, watch it at theevent2018.com. Again, visit theevent2018.com for more information and to tune in to the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Well, welcome back to Washington Watch on this Thursday edition. Producer Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, Judicial Watch recently released 49 pages of new State Department documents showing top George Soros representatives in Romania collaborating with the State Department in a program jointly funded by, among others, Soros's Open Society Foundations, Romania, and USAID, called the Open Government Partnership. Well, joining us now is Tom Fenton, president of Judicial Watch. Tom, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you being here.
Hey, you're welcome, Russ. Thanks for having me.
Well, help our listeners understand that may not be tracking this, what you've released and why it matters.
Well, George Soros has a massive foundation that I think plans to spend, or a group of foundations that I think plan to spend $1 billion this year. So he's not only active here in the United States, but he's active all over the world, especially in Europe. And in order to leverage his foundation's resources, he works with the State Department, embassy personnel, and USAID, which is a funding organization that funnels our tax dollars to foreign entities and others to advance allegedly U.S. interests. And the concern is that the Soros Open Foundation, the Soros Open Society Foundations, are leveraging taxpayer resources and getting tax dollars to advance their what is considered by most reasonable people to be a far-left agenda. And in this case, we've got this these documents that came out as a result of a lawsuit showing a close collaboration between the Open Society Foundation, the George Soros operation in Romania, and the U.S. State Department embassy personnel in another kind of a transnational entity, which is an open government entity, which open government partnership, which, again, kind of leftist in orientation. It's not about open government. It's about left-wing government. And they're working hand in glove. It's clear in these emails.
Yeah. And does this substantiate, suspicions that you've already had? You've been at this a long time.
Well, we know from other documents that U.S. money is going to the Soros Foundation's public information. We know it's happening in Albania. We know it's happening in Macedonia and Colombia and Guatemala, where Soros is using its connections with the State Department and U.S. government. In some cases, in Albania, for instance, the documents show a Soros representative was brought in to help advise on the spending of U.S. money in Albania.
Yeah, and so now that you've got the documents, you're getting them out there, and what would you like to see happen from here?
I'd like to see a debate as to whether U.S. tax dollars should be going to George Soros, who's a multi-billionaire, good for him. And secondly, what Soros' agendas and priorities are and why the U.S. State Department feels the need to work so closely with them through its operations and embassies abroad.
Well, you know, you mentioned USAID. A few years ago, I was invited to go on a trip, a media trip that was sponsored through USAID. So I have an inkling of what you're talking about. And Tom, guess where we went? We went to the West Bank and the quote-unquote Palestinian territory, spent roughly $75,000 promoting the Palestinian agenda. And I was, you know, as a pro-Israel guy, I was flabbergasted. So I get a little bit about what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you would think those trips only happen during Democrat administration. They don't.
Yeah. No, they don't.
It's the same outlook during Republican administrations often as well. And I'm concerned is it's still happening in the deep staters at the State Department, the long-termers, the administrative state are still with the service, despite concerns many Americans have about his outlook.
So from the moment, how long did it take from when you filed the lawsuit to actually get the documents?
A year.
How long?
We filed the request in March of October of last year. We filed a lawsuit earlier this year, so it took about a year to get these 50 pages of documents.
A lawsuit
to get documents that are due to us under law within 20 days.
Wow, that is quite telling there in and of itself. And so these suspicions that we have about how George Soros and his tentacles and how far-reaching they are, I mean, when your efforts here with Judicial Watch and getting these kind of documents, they really do prove the things that we've heard about. And, of course, people talk about these being conspiracy theories and whatnot. They're very real.
Yeah, the hard left is circling the wagons around Soros. He's a big funder of the left, obviously a allied organization in terms of his Open Society foundations. So the left is trying to make it difficult to criticize him. And we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on figuring out how our government is working with him.
Yeah. And Tom, real quick, in our time remaining, anything else you're working on, any other projects?
Well, we had a big lawsuit today, Russ, that we announced against the FBI. You know, if the FBI asks you for documents, do you think you would be able to withhold your text messages? No. But
no.
You ask the FBI for documents, they think they don't have to turn over their text messages. So we're suing in federal court to make sure not only is that done, but they stop deleting them if indeed that's happening.
Well, Tom Fitton, thank you so much. We appreciate what you're doing there. Where can folks find out more about what you're doing?
We're all over social media on Twitter and Facebook, and of course our internet site at judicialwatch.org, judicialwatch.org.
All right, Tom, thank you so much. It's been a while since we've had you on the program. Always appreciate you and your great insights and what you're doing there. I'm sure our listeners are grateful for what you're doing as well. Thanks so much, Tom.
You're welcome. Thank you, Russ.
As Tom Fitton, he's a president of Judicial Watch. It's a it's a watchdog organization that's keeping its eye on the federal government and what they're up to. You can get this information as well on TonyPerkins.com. Well, coming up next, black leaders are calling on CNN to break its silence about host Don Lemon's radical on-air comments. You ready for this? In which he called white men the biggest terror threat facing America. When we return, we're going to talk with Derek Hawley. He's been tracking this. He's got some strong insights on this as well. We're going to talk about this topic also in our caller segment, so be thinking about this. I just don't see this strong, strong racism that folks are talking about. We're going to talk about it. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
So we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right. And we have to start doing something about them. There is no travel ban on them. There is no ban on, you know, they have the Muslim ban. There is no white guy ban. So what do we do about that?
Yeah, what do we do about that? That's CNN's Don Lemon in his recent comments here in relation to the various unfortunate events in our country. And as our country grapples with yet another senseless, brutal, and evil act of violence, this time perpetuated against Jews worshiping in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, actually for a blessing, the media is predictably churning out an avalanche of this breathless accounts of who is to blame. And black leaders are calling on CNN to break its silence about host Don Lemon's radical on-air comments, which, you know, you just heard it. White men, the biggest terror threat facing America. Well, with us now is Derek Hawley. He's president of Reaching America, a nonprofit group he founded that addresses issues afflicting the black community, and a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. Derek, welcome so much to Washington Watch.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, Russ. Thank you.
Well, I tell you, these issues, they just inflame so much. You know, I heard that, and I just couldn't believe really what I was hearing. What say you?
So when I heard it, I was like, I was actually driving in the car, and I heard it on Sirius, but I was like, why does everything have to be blamed on President Trump? And it just seems like whenever anybody says anything, whenever anybody does a thing, they automatically point to President Trump as the reason for it happening. And we just can't continue to live like that.
Yeah, and you know, Derek, I live in Mississippi. I think we know a little something about that down here. And
just a little something.
Just a little something. And It feels as if our culture, the leftist culture, has exploited this thing called racism. And I've talked with my elders of generations ago that really did fight for when that really did mean something. And I'm not saying it doesn't mean something today, but it seems like that word is thrown around so loosely that it's lost its meaning, and it's the immediate reaction of the left. Am I missing it?
No, not at all. And you're so right, because the whenever they disagree with whatever's going on, the first thing that comes out is this racism. Man, I had to go to Virginia a couple of weeks ago to read a statement in support of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. And so while I was there, it was white people that were standing up saying, calling for environmental racism and environmental justice. I'm like, well, is that not an oxymoron? How is that possible? It's everywhere you go, it's racism. Everything is about racism.
Now, I understand that the organization Project 21, since you all have been talking out on this, have received some hate mail. You've had some pushback. Yeah. And you know, I don't like being called a racist, especially when I know I don't deserve it. And I know I go out of my way to look past color. I really do. I work really hard, and it's not really a part of my DNA. And I know some of y'all been called Uncle Tom's. You've been called, and I hate that for you. It's like, really?
I haven't been called that yet. I've been waiting on it, but I haven't been called that. But yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, if you have a mind of your own and you don't follow into what the left wants you to believe, that you got to be called a name, or you're not a real black person and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'll take it on the chin, but I know what I believe, and so. You know, when I talk, I speak from experience, and it's not just talking points. So, you know, it's kind of hard to poke a hole in my story. And so what's interesting to me the most is, you know, I wrote an op-ed in the Daily Signal, and it was a couple of months ago, but it was, you know, why Kanye West is not the only other black that supports the president in this administration. But interesting enough, there was a study, you know, from 1989, get this now, from 1989 to 2015, of 266 hip-hop songs with lyrics that reference the president, Donald Trump. And all of the lyrics represented money, power, and what we strive to achieve. And anytime the lyrics were used with Hillary Clinton, they were negative, and we shouldn't trust her. So at what point did Donald Trump become this villain? When he became the Republican candidate, and the media villain. The media did this to him. I mean, he's the same person he was when he was writing the lyrics to these songs.
Hey, Derek, can you hold on and come back with us after the break? I think we're just kind of digging in here, and I've got a few more questions. We're talking with Derek Hawley here about CNN's Don Lemon and these recent comments about white men being a great terror threat facing America. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. And we're going to go to the phone lines, too, a little while, too. I'd like to hear from you. You know, I grew up in Kansas City. I grew up in the 60s and 70s in race riots. I know what this deal really looks like. I don't feel like that's where we are in our time. I'd like to hear from you. We're going to keep talking with Derek here for just a little bit. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. Check out all the good info there. You can download every show. Listen to it while you're working out. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet Values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. Pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbustour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
On Sunday, November 4th, join millions of Americans who are pledging to pray, vote, and stand for our nation. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. Hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, and others broadcasting from Caris Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. Go to theevent2018.com for more information and to tune into the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Yep, we're rounding third, heading towards home. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, and we're talking with Derek Hawley. He's president of Reaching America and a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. Derek, thanks for holding on with me. Would just like to show this out just a little bit more. You know, it's critical that when we see true racism, that it be called out. There's no room for that in our country, in our culture, in our communities. And I think for the most part, it does get called out when it happens. But we were just getting into that. So much of the time, folks throw the word racist around and racism so much that real racism gets buried and is really a disservice to everybody involved. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think you alluded to it earlier, and that it's almost used so loosely now that, you know, it's almost like the boy who cried wolf, and like, is it really racism? You know, it's so common now, and it's just unfortunate.
It is where we are, and it's almost like, oh, thanks for reminding me. I forgot I'm a racist. You know, that's what it feels like a lot of the time. And I think most of the folks I hang out with are, you know, they're very empathetic with folks, caring, give the shirt off their back, and I think that's where a lot of people live and work and want to take time to get to know folks different from themselves. But yet, if you keep your head in this mainstream news environment, man, you would really think we're all jacked up.
Yeah, Russ, and I say that, and I tell my friends, you know, in the world I live in, you know, I meet on a daily basis with, you know, just people within the conservative movement, and the stuff that they spew on CNN and these other liberal shows, it couldn't be further from the truth in terms of the kind of people I deal with. And right. Everything that you said is like, you know, they're the most caring, you know, trying to do good with this country. And so it's just sad that that's what CNN and these other media outlets puts out about conservatives because it's so false. It's so
false. You know, there's this little video on Facebook I saw the other day, these two black guys, and they were coming out of a store, and this elderly white woman, and she didn't have enough money to do something. I don't know how they knew about it, but they gave her a wad of cash out of their pocket. You know, and somebody caught this very real, it wasn't contrived, a very real moment. And I said, yeah, that's where I'm, you know, that's where I live. That could happen right down the street from where I live. And I just think we need to take opportunities to raise up that kind of conversation more often.
Russ, it could happen anywhere. And I was just having a conversation with someone earlier. You know, I do a podcast and Reach America on Demand, but I have to go to a website, you know, to find good news, good stories, because you don't see it in the regular media. And it was a story of a police officer, a white police officer, who stopped his car and got out to toss the football around with a black kid because he was playing by himself. But that kind of stuff don't make the news, you know?
No.
It's all the other stuff.
And that's great news there. Well, Derek, thank you so much for taking time to be with us again. Don't be a stranger. We need to get you back on, okay?
I appreciate you having me, Russ. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Derek Hawley, president of Reaching Out and a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. What say you on this topic? I'd love to hear from you. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Cheryl in Iowa. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I would like to make the comment that racism is just another word for hatred. And people need to start showing love, respect, and kindness to each other, and the world would be such a better place.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I do think there's so much that stokes this kind of fire. And when we fail to empathize with others instead of, you know, kind of burrow down the rabbit hole of stereotypes and prejudice, you know, it's just based on outward appearances, the more we're prone to hate and dehumanize other people. And you know, it's an unfortunate time we live in, Cheryl, in Iowa, where so many of these terms are so loosely thrown around. And sometimes I wonder if it's because, you know, some just don't truly understand what it was when we lived in a time when it truly was like that. What would you say?
Oh, I totally agree. And it's not just based on color. There is so much racism towards the people who are homeless or the drug addicts and the alcoholics. And, you know, treat each other with respect. You don't know that person's story. You know, show them kindness. Hello or have a good day could turn their whole day around.
Yeah,
you know,
mean
show
all the
kindness to one another, and God will show kindness on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent, excellent point, Cheryl. Thanks so much for calling and listening to Washington Watch. Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Eric in Missouri, the Show Me State. How are you doing, Eric?
Hey, I'm not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I just wanted to say real quick, you know, I think a lot of what they're pushing around in the media is propaganda for their own purpose. You know, I grew up in the heart of America in Springfield, Missouri. And when I was in high school in 1982, my high school was segregated. So there was racism at that point in this town. It wasn't bad, but it was bad enough they felt like they had to segregate school. Since then, we have grown way past that. I mean, it's just not here anymore. You know, you don't see it. I don't see it. And I work in a factory with a lot of black men, you know, and it's, you know, we talk just like normal people talk, you know, it's, I just don't understand what they're coming at. You know, there are people out there that have agendas and that have problems, but it's not something that you can say the white man, you know, is doing.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I see folks get along and talk and relate with one another all the time from all kinds of different ethnic backgrounds. And, you know, and I really don't see the racism that folks are wanting to put on President Trump. I just don't see it. And if you look at his cabinet and the people in leadership, he's got all kinds of people around him, a lot of women. you know, there's just a lot of different kind of folks that reflect different parts of our society. And that's how I see it. Eric in Missouri, thanks so much. While the phones are lighting up on this one, let's go to Tim in Tennessee. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Rush. I just want to say I've worked in a government agency for over 24 years. I'm an old country boy. I've worked in fields with white and black kids both. Never thought about prejudice, but when I got to this government agency, you were constantly being approached with people because they were in the wrong. They would suddenly use prejudice. Oh, your prejudice reason you stopped me was because of this, that, or the other thing. And it was the furthest thing from the truth. And it seems that that's what the news media kind of try to perpetuate, is they'll grab this thing and turn it around. And really the people that aren't prejudiced are the ones that they're claiming are prejudiced. And the guy with CNN, he's clearly the person that's prejudiced and blaming other people for being that way. And they just make this sound like the victims are the suspects and the suspects are the victims. And it's just wrong, and I don't know how to stop the news. You know, how do you stop the news media from worrying about ratings and get grandstanding stories rather than telling the truth?
And I think that's why President Trump speaks to the country through his Twitter account, frankly, so folks can hear directly from him. Tim, thank you so much. And, you know, one of the things I've been seeing, especially in our community campus, our college campuses, our universities, that seem to spur a lot of this is the first week you're there, you're either the oppressor or the oppressed, one of the two. You're either a victim or you're the one that's oppressing others by your ideology. Let's go to Pete in Missouri. Hi, Pete. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ. We've talked a time or two, though I've never been much of a radio call-in guy. we know the news media is not going to give us the truth. We know that the college campus is not going to give our kids the truth. I mean, there's no point in addressing that. Just one little thing. I belong to a Protestant denomination, a Reformed Protestant denomination, I guess I won't name them, that just 2 years ago put out a one-page statement of repentance for the denomination's racist background, which is there. So anybody who's in the know will know exactly what I'm talking about. But one of the really interesting things was, part of the deal was they did a survey of all the ruling and teaching elders. And the difference in perception between the black folks that responded, who were in a great minority, and the white folks who responded. Here's the point. The white folks, I think you fall in this category, and I would too, tend to view racism as a personal thing that needs to be repented of personally. Mm-hmm. The black folks have more of a tendency to view it as a systemic cultural system deal.
It's in our DNA.
And it appears... Well, just in the systems that were set up by, frankly, our racist white forebears. And I think that the point there is that we majority culture people, to use that term, need to be careful when we are trying to decide whether racism still exists. We're not talking about what the media says. We know they lie. But in reality, I think that white folks don't always see it quite like it might be.
Right.
And I can't pretend. The application is we could.
No, what I was going to say is I can't pretend to know what a person of color is going through. Can't.
Right.
Try
but
to understand.
We read, we educate ourselves, we listen when we can.
Yep, absolutely. Pete, very good points. I appreciate you calling, and thanks for listening to Washington Watch very much. Let's go to Bud in Oklahoma. Hey, Bud.
Hey, Russ, I guess since I'm a white male, I guess I'm prejudiced too, but I don't feel that way since I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, because I don't do racist because the Lord doesn't do racist. He loves everyone, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love everyone just like he does. And if you have love in your heart, you can't have racism there, because the two can't stay in the same spot.
Right.
So,
yeah, and as Pete, as Pete was saying, I think he was talking about individuals taking the issue personally, that we don't see ourselves personally as racist, but things are more institutionally racist in nature, with things embedded into the way systems work. You know, not sure about that exactly. It seems as if we've reached a point in our culture and our society that folks have a pretty fair shot at making it big or not making it big here. I don't know, Bud.
I hear you. I think if we just get our heads out of CNN and get them more into the Bible, that's everybody's own prerogative what they decide that they want to do. I don't know, I kind of boycotted CNN for the simple reason is they're anti-Trump, I guess, or anti-human, just regular human beings. They're not like the rest of us.
Bud, great insights there. Got time for about one more call. Let's go to Craig in Michigan, all the way up north there. Getting a little colder up there, Craig?
Yeah, cooling down a little bit tonight, Russ. I really appreciated Pete's comments on the way that, say, like people of color, the African American community, or maybe even women, you know, anybody who has suffered, you know, kind of being in a position where they're paid less or less respect or whatever, you know, with contributing the same things. But I just wanted to say that. I mean, just ever since I was little, I was, would be offended by racism and stuff. But it never stops, like, sort of like the accusation, like where things become so sensitive. But the point that I really wanted to make was Martin Luther King Jr., you know, he had this vision, right? The left keeps throwing out all of these accusations against racism, and if you know about, like, Dinesh D'Souza and stuff, you know, the Republican Party never owned slaves, you know what I mean, and they suffered brutal attacks to defend people's liberty and freedom. In any way, that vision is really, like, what's important to me for people, I think, because we feel a little helpless sometimes because when the left keeps throwing out these accusations where Pete had said, like, we take it personally, I take it very personally because I want to have relationships with anybody. Yeah.
We're about out of time, Craig.
Okay. The point is Martin Luther King Jr., he put all of the offenses and hurts in the past and had a vision for the brotherly love and sitting together and casting that vision, you know, without a vision, my people perish, and our vision is our future that we live into. And that's really the conversation that we need to be generating, because the left is generating a lot of, they're producing barriers that don't exist.
I got to cut you off there, Craig. Very good insights. Wow, great dialogue today. Really appreciate you all calling in, and folks really contributed to that conversation. And from Deuteronomy 31, I leave you this. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, I indeed will see you tomorrow. You've been listening to Washington Watch. Be well.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.